Whoever has ears, let them hear. That's how Jesus finishes our gospel lesson that builds on last week's gospel lesson when he talked about the different types of soil and the seed cast into that soil from which our faith, our identity, our purpose grows as Christians. It's fascinating when you read these teaching lessons of Jesus because there are so many details that clearly he's choosing to add to his point, and yet if we get too far off track in those details, we'll often miss the very central truth that Jesus is teaching us, which is often referred to as the seed or the kernel at the center, what Jesus is really intending to be the message we take away. I know there are people in this room that gets distracted by one element of this lesson the same way that I am, and I know that because of the conversations we've had over the years. I remember my first encounter with weeds. I was between kindergarten and first grade, and I wanted so desperately to help with the family endeavors in regard to gardening, both flower gardening and vegetable gardening, and yet I was dangerous at that point, the same kind of dangerous that the servants were in this lesson. If you don't know what's a weed, you're likely to pull out something of value. And so I was taught to look for one specific weed as a five-year-old. And that was the one weed I was allowed to dig out. Wherever I saw it, whenever I saw it, I was ready to go to the neighbor's houses to weed their flower beds. But I also had learned another difficult element to that lesson. If you just pull off the top, the odds are within a day or two, you're going to see that plant again, maybe even blooming already again. You got to dig it out. You got to tear it out by the roots. Otherwise, you haven't succeeded in the mission. And that was okay with me for a while until the family decided that we needed a 2+ acre country garden shared with a few other families. And suddenly, I had to be introduced to all kinds of other weeds that were also now going to be my responsibility in the context. And you know where it goes from there. And so you wouldn't be surprised then, the distraction that has been mine for years and years and years, decades really, as I hear this gospel lesson and I hear Jesus say, an enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat. And my first reaction is, how dastardly. That's just not fair. Weeds are there. Weeds are there, and they're an enemy, and they're invasive and pervasive and just work. And to have somebody else that dislikes you enough, hates you enough, is working against you hard enough to actually sow weeds in whatever type of plot of ground you're trying to bring something useful and fruitful from, that's a whole nother level of anger and hatred, isn't it, for those of us who know that battle well. And yet Jesus is trying to help us understand that too often when we're focused on weeds, we're only seeing and thinking about things outside of ourselves, other people, so to speak, the evil of the world, the unbelievers, the misbelievers, or those who have never had any interest in God whatsoever and just live their lives any way they please, and how hard it is for a believer to live next to someone like that, whether it's at work or in the neighborhood or in a household, you name it. If a believer is trying to live their life as wheat next to an unbeliever, it is impossible, so to speak, and you're feeling like it just has to be pulled out by the roots, and that's the big surprise in these verses. Jesus says, no, nothing doing. And the reality is how he states it so clearly here. We start yanking out what we see to be weeds by the roots, we're going to damage the good plants, maybe even destroy them altogether. But the bigger surprise is when you and I start reading these verses contemplatively, and by all the teaching of the scripture that examines us inside and out, we have to have that moment, don't we? In that struggle, that tension, that balance between law and gospel, what God tells me about myself and my world and what's broken and wrong and needing fixing, and the things that he proclaims to me are good and righteous and a gift to me from God alone because I could never accomplish them myself. I come to that moment where I look at a lesson like this And I believe Jesus is intending at the kernel of this lesson to start a questioning process for myself, of myself. What am I actually? Am I wheat? It's what I want to be. But more often, I'm living like a weed. I'm thinking like a weed. I'm acting like a weed. I am the presence of weed in other people's lives. And then that leads to the next step in the process, right? How do other people see me? The way I live my life, the words I choose, how I carry on my relationships, how I set my priorities. Do other people see me as wheat that they can grow confidently next to, comfortably, enjoying fellowship and enjoying a process in which God has us growing together in all the right directions, doing all the right things? Or do other people in my life see me as a weed? Are there moments that the things that I do or say, attitudes that I demonstrate, have them wishing God would yank me out by the roots because of the damage I'm going to do to them? As soon as you start thinking that way, you start realizing the wisdom that Jesus is offering us in this farmer who refuses to allow his employees back in the days when all farm work was animal and human oriented, with no machinery, no herbicides, no possibilities of anything other than handwork and backwork, to be careful not to waste their labor in a way that might actually destroy good crop that can be dealt with and handled at the moment of harvest. And as we follow the pattern of the lesson, we come to that realization that I might be part weed and part wheat the whole journey through, and it's not until that moment I arrive at the harvest moment when the angels have accompanied Jesus to determine the outcome of every life for eternity that I will really fully understand what it means to be wheat and know for sure that I haven't actually been living that double life my whole life. Think about it for a minute. If you are somebody who has the knowledge of what weeds look like, you aren't as likely to be fooled the way other people might be. There may be that moment where you see a yard that has been let go, and they've got quite a crop of thistles blooming right now with gorgeous blooms, and you think, wow, that's pretty impressive. Until those dry out and the next wind blows a cloud of seed that will infiltrate and destroy all kinds of settings of farm, field, and yard in the immediate proximity for years to come. There are those moments when something that looks like it's insidious and invasive and is growing beyond your imagination, before you go dig it up, make sure you ask somebody who knows and they can tell you, oh no, that's a volunteer. That's an actual plant you would want to have in your yard. In fact, you could make a little money propagating that and making sure it grows and replenishes itself. And you can take samplings and seedlings and you could actually do something with that. Because you and I, we don't always know. We don't always know what we're looking at, even when we look in the mirror. But we want to be wheat. That's what Jesus is intending for you and I to come to the realization. I want to be wheat. I want to grow as a plant that is true and right, glorifies God, and does good in the world as God has defined it. That has and seizes the opportunities to not just live for Him, but to speak His truth and make the difference in others, to serve Him and others in ways that not only give Him glory, but benefit all of His creation. And yet the Apostle Paul reminds us what wretched people we are, that we see what's right, we know what's right, we can't do what's right. We see what's wrong, we know what's wrong, and we can't fight it off. It overcomes us. There's nothing we're ever going to be able to do to make that difference ourselves. And that's the fascinating nature of how Jesus is consistent, even in his teaching stories, regarding how everything about the issues of eternity and being right with God are from outside of ourselves. As he told us last week, the word is the seed planted in the soil. Last week, we were worried about what kind of soil we might be. This week, we're focused on what kind of seed we are, wanting to be the right seed, wanting and desiring that relationship with God through his word that leads us to understand God's forgiveness, God's committed love, his investment in us, and how he desires us to grow into plants that produce fruit that are of value, not just now, but for all eternity. Plants that will grow in his garden and be welcome, not just now, not just for the rest of our lives, but with an unending reality of his grace, his love, his power, embracing us and completing us. And so you and I, we read verses like this and we hear Jesus saying, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are his angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." You have ears, so do I. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? What is Jesus telling you? And what do you want in response? There are really only two choices available. That's all that Jesus gives you. It's either what is righteous and good and from God and has eternal value, or what is of this world and the devil, what is wrong, broken, evil, and will only be destructive to the world in which we live, to the people that we share that world with, and to ourselves. And so the simple, straightforward path from here is, am I going to open my ears? Am I going to listen to Jesus? Am I going to let him continue to plant his seed in my life so that I am the plant he desires, and my life produces the fruit that he is looking for, that is evidence of the faith and trust and reliance I have on him as my God, as my Savior, as the Lord of my life? He gives us so many opportunities. He gives us daily opportunities to spend time in his word, to listen to him. He gives us opportunities to come forward to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, the progression of our perspective regarding life in this world as we daily examine it and adjust it in reaction to his word, our faith, and our desire to live for him. And so a section that seems so complicated in its initial presentation that the apostles themselves asked Jesus in a private moment, "You got to explain this one to us, Jesus." He does. And his explanation is so straightforward, so simple, that it's impossible to miss the central truth. He summarizes it with one phrase, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." If your heart is open, if your mind is open, if your soul is open to God's truth being everything that you will build, your life, your perspective, your hope, your truth that you live by around, the Holy Spirit will be doing his work in you, and you'll be growing and producing fruit and living for eternity in a way that you become the righteous who are shining like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, right now and forever. You have the option of going the other direction and desiring what it means and how it is to be and live and the outcome of the weeds. But it doesn't take a trained, lifelong experience to see weeds is a very dangerous, unhappy, and ultimately destructive reality. The wheat is who God calls us to be. The wheat is what God desires us to be. And by His grace, His love, His power, and His plan, He has made you righteous through the living and dying and rising of Jesus Christ. And you are wheat. And you are growing. And you are producing fruit. And you are confessing your faith. And you're living for that day. Not with fear, but with confidence that the angels will come. And you will know what it's like to live as the righteous shining in the sun of the kingdom of their Father forever. All it takes is to continue to listen. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Amen.